Praise God. I tell you what, I'm thankful for every life that's been changed in through this ministry here and around the world, aren't you? I have one request that when I get to heaven, God will let me sing like Don Lane. That's my request. You know, would you shout, brother, if I sing like him?
I'll shout if you didn't.
Okay, amen. Oh my goodness. Colossians chapter 2 this morning, and find, if you would please, verse number 5. I'm going to be very quick. I preach this message in 15 minutes, all right, at 8:30. I think I can do it again. Maybe a little, I might fudge a little, but I'm going to do good, all right? Get you out before the Methodists. Okay? Maybe. Colossians chapter 2, and find, if you would please, verse number 5. I can't wait to go through the book of Colossians with you. I've never preached through the book of Colossians before. I'm excited. I'm going to be doing that sometime in the coming year. But God has led us here, and I want you to begin reading with me in verse number 5. If you don't have a Bible, the verse text is on the screen. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I want to draw your attention to verse number 7 again. Rooted and built up in Him. Preacher, what does it mean to be rooted? Well, can I tell you, it's the opposite of being uprooted. Not trying to sound oversimplistic, but that's true. You see, if we're not rooted, it won't be long before we're uprooted. That was the situation, the concern of a man by the name of Epaphras. You'll meet him when we study the book. Epaphras, you meet him on the pages of chapter 1 and verse number 7. He had come to know the Lord, I believe, through the preaching of the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. There was a 3.5-year revival in Ephesus, and Epaphras was saved there. Maybe his hometown was Colossae. And he went back there and he planted a church. He rooted a church in Colossae, that city. We call it the Church of the Colossians, okay? That's what we call them. And he's now their pastor. He's traveling back to Rome hundreds of miles seeking for the aged apostle who has been imprisoned there. He has a great concern. His fear is that this young church that had been rooted in Christ years before would become uprooted in the world. Well, how do you know they were rooted in the Lord? Well, because he says, as ye have been taught, past tense. So they were rooted, but he was fearful that they would be uprooted. Look if you would please, in verse number 8. He's going to talk about this. Look, he says, beware. Keep a lookout. Keep a watchful eye. He talks about an impending danger, lest any man spoil you. That's an interesting word. When we think of spoil, we think of spoiled meat or spoil this or that. It actually means to do damage. It has the idea of spoiling, like taking something captive. One writer made this statement. He said, beware lest any man kidnap you. Let me tell you, the devil wants to kidnap you. He wants to kidnap your children, your teenager, young adult. Young adult, he wants to kidnap your future. Did you know that? He wants to take it captive. He wants to spoil and do damage. And so he was concerned that this church would be uprooted. And out of that meeting with the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit gave us the inspired letter to the Colossians that we're reading this morning. But I just want to say that God didn't just have a message in that day. God has a message for you and me this morning. And God wants us to be a God wanted them to be a rooted church, and God wants you to be a rooted Christian, and He wants Calvary Baptist Church to be a rooted church. And listen, we realize that as we look around us, we're living in a world much like these early Colossian believers lived in, where most everything that we hold dear is either has been or is being uprooted by these same winds of worldly opposition. Let me just tell you something. The devil doesn't have anything anything new. It's the same old lie repackaged and then sent out again. And the winds of worldly opposition, of vain philosophy and vain deceit and through a tradition of men, all of that is blowing today that mocks and maligns and ridicules our faith and what we stand for it, and wants to take away liberty and wants to uproot Christians all around by telling them that biblical Christianity is a farce and it's a legend, and they want to spoil our children through social media. Listen, I'll tell you, parent, you listen to me. They want to kidnap your child through social media. You need to be careful in that area and involved in your child's life in that area, so they're not influenced by vain philosophy and deceit and the rudiments of the world and the tradition of men that would uproot their fragile faith. That's why what we're doing here at Calvary Baptist Church is so important. It just is. Today, author David Wells wrote this. He said, secular author, he said, today we're neither rooted nor do we have much sense of belonging. We are, in fact, the uprooted generation, the disconnected, the drifters, the alone. We're being blown around by the windstorms of modernity. Our roots and families, places and work have all withered or been cut off. Christian writer Elton Trueblood spoke of our society as a cut flower generation. It's like a cut flowers in a vase. There's no root. He said the basic Christian truths have built it, our civilization. But if we are disconnected from our roots, our ideals and ethics will eventually fade and die. He said if we're to successfully give Christ to the next generation, we must hand His teachings to them too. How important it is. Preacher, how can I be a rooted Christian in an uprooted world? Calvary Baptist Church, how can we be a rooted church in an uprooted world? Well, verse number 7 is going to tell us. It says rooted and built up in Him. We need to be rooted in Jesus Christ. That word rooted thinks of something that is firmly planted, it's fixed, it's immovable. Strong roots stabilize and support the growth of a tree. And what is true of a tree is also true of a child of God. It's true of you, it's true of me, it's true of our church. We need roots that are strong and sunk deep into the soils of that is true and right and virtuous and praiseworthy and godly, that you and I might flourish and stand tall for our God in this day. Listen, if the world and Satan can detach you from Christ, I'm not talking about rob your salvation. I'm not talking about keeping you out of heaven if you're saved. I'm talking about detaching you in the sense of detaching your roots from the nourishment and that's necessary. You will become an uprooted Christian. They're all around. Charles Swindoll in his book on Colossians made this statement. He said, roots strengthen and support us against the prevailing winds of persuasion. When the mind-boggling gales attack without warning, it's our network of solid roots that holds us firm and keeps us straight. He went on to write, beautiful branches and delicate leaves, no matter how attractive, fail to fortify us as the velocity increases. It takes roots, thick, deep, powerful roots to keep us standing strong in the day of trouble. Listen, church, we need roots. Christian, you need roots, thick, powerful, deep, strong roots that we might be rooted in Him in the day in which we live. Let's be rooted in Him personally. Verse 7 says, rooted and built up in Him. Do you know you search the religions of the world and the Buddhists, you'll never read in their writings where they're in Buddha, or the Muslims would never say they are in Allah, or the Hindus with their 500 million gods would never say that they're in their God. But listen to this, Christian, the day you came to know Jesus Christ, you were placed in Him. It is a living, vibrant, wonderful relationship with a living Lord, and His name is Jesus Christ, and we need to be rooted in Him. We need to be rooted in His salvation. Chapter 1 and verse 14, I'm just going to read it to you, and said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That word redemption means to purchase for a price. It has the idea that He's paid for us, and the price was His blood. He died for you and He died for me, that we might have the forgiveness of sins. You know, the greatest need in every person's life, everybody in this room, everybody all over the world, everybody in our community, is to know that their sins have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. Because we're all sinners. There's none righteous. There's nobody good. All need to be saved. The wages of sin is death. And the Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life. That means they're not rooted in His salvation. They've never received Him, was cast in the lake of fire. And friend, you know what? When you say, preacher, that's bad news. Oh no, but I've got good news. Nobody has to spend eternity in hell. Nobody has to be apart from God. The good news is that Jesus came to redeem us and to save us from our sins. Have you ever been saved? Are you rooted in His salvation this morning? Have you received Him? John 1:12 said, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, to believe on Him for salvation. If you've never trusted Christ, can I implore you, you'll never be a rooted Christian until first of all you're rooted in His salvation. Friend, if you're not saved, you need to be saved today. But then notice, not only should we be rooted in His salvation, we ought to be rooted in His sustenance. Let me read you a verse, you can jot it down. John 15:4. Jesus said, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing. Do you know in 1969 they could do nothing without Him? In 1978 Calvary Baptist Church could do nothing without Him. And in 2021 we can do nothing without Him. We need God. A vine is an extension of the roots. The roots sustain the life of the branches, not the branches, the vine and the roots. A branch can never flourish. It can never be fruitful on its own. And if we're going to be vibrant, flourishing, fruitful Christians, we need to learn to daily abide in the vine of the Lord's presence. It's through the abiding life that the roots of our spiritual lives draw the nourishment necessary for successful Christian living. You see, friend, we need to abide. We need to be rooted in His presence. We do. Because it's in His presence that you and I daily draw the necessary strength and sustenance to be what God wants us to be salt and light, to counter our culture, to be Christians in a sin-darkened world, to shine His lights for Him. We need Him. George Mueller, a great man of faith of yesteryear, who had thousands of children in orphanages and believed God's in amazing ways, great man of prayer, here's what he said. He said, the primary business I must attend to every day is to fellowship with the Lord. The first concern is not how much I might serve the Lord, but how my inner man might be nourished. I may share the truth with the unconverted. I may try to encourage believers. I may relieve the distressed, or I may in other ways seek to behave as a child of God. Yet, not being happy in the Lord and not being nourished and strengthened in my inner man day by day may result in His work being done in the wrong spirit. We need Him. Amen. You need a daily time with Him. You need to root yourself in the presence of God every day. We need to be rooted personally. Secondly, we need to be rooted passionately. So walk ye in Him, verse 6 says. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. We're saved by faith. We live by faith. We're to be rooted in faith. We'll talk about that tonight. When we think about this walk, it has to do with one's lifestyle, not just the direction of one's life, but the quality of it. How we conduct ourselves as believers in this world. It also implies progress unless you're walking on a treadmill. You know, it's amazing. I can get on my treadmill, walk 2 miles, and get off the same place I got on. Isn't that amazing? But whenever you're walking and it's not a treadmill, the idea is you're making progress and we ought to be moving forward passionately for the Savior. I believe that we've seen here recently that there's a lot of people that's passionate about a whole lot of things, but I'm sad to say they're the wrong things. You and I need to be passionate about the right thing today. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, for to me, I can't say for anybody else, but for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Can I tell you that that's probably one of the greatest passion statements found anywhere in the Bible. It is a statement of purpose and meaning. Paul was saying that Christ was the sum total of his life. The passion, desire, drive of Paul's life was to live for Christ. The world says the person who lives for Jesus is a loser. You're a loser. You miss out. You don't know what life really is. The reality is Paul said, no, 1,000 times no. You're not the loser, you're the gainer. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It is. We're the gainers. Friend, listen, there's no greater life than a life lived for Jesus Christ. No fuller, no more satisfying, no more gratifying and wonderful life than a life lived for Jesus Christ. And you know what? You can wake up the next day and remember what you did. world does what they do and they can't even remember it. To die is gain. Colossians 1:10 echoes that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to be rooted personally. We need to be rooted passionately, and we need to be rooted continually. Look at verse 5 again, the middle part of that verse. He said, Yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. There's a steadfast faith, rooted in faith in Christ. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. When something's rooted, it's fixed. It's firm. It's immovable. We need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be rooted in His Word. We need to be rooted in His church. We need to be rooted in His work. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, if we're not rooted, it won't be long before we're uprooted. Far too many tumbleweed Christians. When Brother Lane and I went out west for just a little while back last year to preach in a couple of churches at our Bible college, I was preaching and he was along with me, making sure that I got where I needed to go. He was my designated driver at times, and we were doing things, and I always take somebody with me. I like the accountability of that, and we were there, and he said, "You know, I just want to see one thing." I'm thinking, we're out west. You want to see one thing? He said, "I want to see a tumbleweed." Well, we went, and finally there was one that had been run over in the road. Brother Lane got to see his tumbleweed, didn't you, Brother Lane? You know what? Tumbleweeds might be exciting to see if you've never seen one, but it's not exciting to be one. You're just blown here and there. I don't want to be blown here and there as a Christian. I don't want the winds of vain tradition and worldly philosophy and rudiments of the world blowing me around. The tense of this word has the idea of being rooted and remaining rooted. How important that is. Why, preacher? We already mentioned it in verse 8. We'll look at it in detail when we get into our series on Colossians. The winds of satanic and worldly opposition are already blowing against you, against your life, against your family, against your future young adult, against this church. Our nation wants to do you damage, bring ruin to your life, your family, our future. It ought to be the concern of every Christian and every church to be rooted in Christ, that we not be blown around and blown and be uprooted in all these different areas. Listen, would you commit with me today to be rooted in Him personally? Would you do that in salvation and in sustenance? His sustaining strength and grace and nourishment, to be rooted in Him passionately. Can I tell you, our world needs passionate Christians. You know how the world in the book of Acts, you know how they changed the world? It was all new to the Colossians. They lived in a completely pagan society, which is ours, is quickly becoming. And they lived in that, and it was all brand new. And you know how they countered their culture? They were passionate, faithful Christians that went everywhere preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. And you know what God's looking for in the 21st century? Some rooted, faithful Christians who will go everywhere preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. Let's be rooted in Him personally. Young man, young lady, Christian, teenager, listen, adult, let's be rooted in Him passionately, and let's be rooted in Him continually. Continually. Let's just sink our roots deep in the Savior. Let's know Him this year like we've never known Him before. And let's glorify Him. And let's share Him like we never have before. Let's claim our community for Christ. Let's do that. Hey, I'm tired of the opioid epidemic claiming our town. What about you? I'm tired of it destroying our young people. I'm tired of vain philosophies uprooting their lives. Let's make a difference. Let's do it. And we can make a difference, and we can flourish upward if we'll be rooted downward. I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to do that. We're going to do it very quietly. Every head's going to be bowed here in a moment. Every eye will be closed. Some already